your art and many other things. So very welcome.
Thank you.
So let's start at the beginning. Art, was that always something for you as a child? Was it always a passion?
I was always drawing and painting. Mum said if she didn't know where I was, she'd find me down the side of the sofa making a peg doll or drawing something or creating something or... Yeah, always.
So I always a great believer that if that's a real passion, you just can't stop it, can you? You know, it's something you have to do.
Absolutely.
I think very much like music or dance, if it's there, you've got to do it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll be really probably, you know, not well from it, from feeling cut off from it.
Yeah, well, it's like an itch.
Yeah.
It's like this feeling like, ooh, I've just got to go and do that. And I've got it again at the moment. I want to start doing some large-scale work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to find the time at the moment, but... It's like this, it's this niggling feeling all the time. Oh, I can't wait to get on and do that.
Do that. Yeah. So, art college after school?
Yes.
And what did you study? Yeah. Was that?
I did a foundation course, first of all, year-long foundation course, and then I did my degree in surface decoration,
mm-hmm.
which comes under the broad umbrella of fashion textile design.
Yeah.
But it also covers anything that's got a pattern on it. So it might be stationery, tiles... teapots, you know, anything that has a pattern. Basically.
So the things in our everyday life that, you know, we probably don't always appreciate as a piece of art, but somebody somewhere has designed them, created them. And they might be very functional, but equally can be very beautiful.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So wallpaper and fabric and that sort of thing. We learned a lot about printing and putting things into repeat and changing scale and that sort of thing.
So what did you do after your degree?
After my degree, I worked in London in the textile industry for about 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't designing then, but I was always painting out of work.
Mm.
So I worked for a textile and wallpaper company.
Mm-hmm.
I was part of the management team in a showroom on the King's Road in Chelsea.
Oh, how exciting.
I know. Really
people with lots of money spending on beautiful things.
Really nice projects.
Yeah.
Sometimes people come in with blueprints for... a house they were building in the Caribbean and say, can you help me choose all the textiles and fabrics to decorate it? So I was there for 10 years and then moved to the island in 2004.
Okay. And so what does art mean for you now? How often are you able to paint and get things out there?
Yeah. I'm still painting every week. I don't paint every day. I wish I could. But I have a few things that I'm doing. I'm juggling quite a few things at the moment, all creative things and all really great, really good fun. I love them. But I'm not always painting every day. But at the moment, I'm trying to create a new body of work. As I say, the larger scale stuff, which might go to some art fairs in London.
Mm-hmm. So I know your work is on display locally, isn't it, down in Cowes?
Yes.
So how did that come about?
Well, a friend of mine was working for the Cowes Gallery, for Hugo, and she mentioned that he might need some temporary cover, you know, to cover holidays, etc. So I just popped in one rainy afternoon, had a chat to him, we got on well, and through conversation, ended up showing him my abstract work on my phone, and he immediately said, I'll display that in the gallery for you. So I was really excited. I'd gone in looking for a part-time job, and I'd come out with my work on display. That was lovely. And he asked me to create some, you know, little collection for him, to which I did, and then I ended up working there as well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, and I often find that with artists that, you know, it's that double thing, isn't it, that you can be very good at producing your art, but then you've got to be your own marketing person.
Yes.
And that's quite a challenge, isn't it, to kind of, for all of us, I think, anything you've produced that's creative, it's very personal.
It
can be quite hard to sort of walk in somewhere and say, you know, I think this is great, I want you to sell it.
Yes.
And so I think for a lot of people, art doesn't get seen because people don't have the confidence
to
take it forward.
To take it somewhere.
Yeah.
Or they start saying things like, oh, I'm not really a painter, I just dabble. But actually, of course they're a painter, anyone can be a painter. It was a lovely opportunity because I am able to talk to people who are looking at my art objectively and we can discuss it and I can find out what people like, of course, you know, what they like about it. I'm in a very privileged position in that way in the gallery. And it's been really lovely being able to directly sell my my pictures to people, you know.
So are people aware that you're the artist when...
Yeah, I'm a bit more confident about saying to somebody, oh, if you have any questions, I can talk with authority about these pieces because they're mine. And people usually get quite excited because they're talking to the artist.
Yes,
which is lovely. It's a lovely feeling.
And I think it's that feeling, isn't it, that your work grows as well, you know, not to strive for perfection. You know, you could paint and paint and paint and always be pursuing the perfect picture, but to say, you know, this is my current work, my next next series of work might look quite different. You know, I might take a different route.
That definitely, there's an evolution to it. So the work I was doing then, I'm always going to be influenced by the coast, because you would have to walk around the blindfold not to be influenced by it here. But I did sort of deliberately look at what we had on our doorstep. So it might be wave patterns in the surface of water in the morning. I'm always on the beach every day with the dogs, so I'm always finding things. And although I'm not trying to create a representation of pebbles or shells or anything, they generally serve as a kind of a jumping off point.
Yeah,
it's a bit of an inspiration. So it might be the inside of a shell where you get those lovely sort of like little patterns, and where a creature has been living, and I just want to recreate that depth of colour you get right at the centre of the shell, and then it builds from there, because I don't really plan my work. I paint quite intuitively, so I'll start with one thing and it evolves from there.
It's quite a lovely feeling, I imagine, just when you step back from a picture and go, oh, that's what I created today.
Yes, and knowing when to finish, that's the other thing.
Yeah.
Someone said to me in the gallery the other day, there's no such thing as finished work, there's only abandoned work. Which I thought, oh gosh, that feels a bit bleak actually, and I don't know if I agree, because you, as an artist, you definitely have to make that decision. No, I've done enough.
Yeah.
Because you could go on and on, and most artists will tell you they have ruined pieces because they have overworked.
I did that last little bit and then realised,
it's not finished, I need to do more. Especially with watercolour, because I work in watercolour and ink. So you can't eliminate anything that you've done. You know, with oils you can scrape off, or with acrylics you can cover. But, of course, with watercolour, the nature of it is it's very translucent, and you can get some lovely effects through layering. But you have to be quite sure of everything you're putting down. So you might look and look and look at a picture for 10 times as long as you make a mark. And then you make a mark and you look again.
Yeah.
Spend more time looking.
And hope you're happy with it.
Yes.
So I know, so obviously you work in the gallery, but also you work at Independent Arts, don't you? So running art workshops?
On Monday we have something called Creative Cafe. So we have two sessions at 10:30 in the morning for an hour and a half, and we have another session in the afternoon at 1:30. And the aim of the charity is well-being through creativity. We are aiming to combat social isolation, and the workshops we run on a Monday, we have a simple creative activity, a different activity every week. On the first Monday of the month, we have what I started calling Inspiration Monday. And we will look at the art of a particular artist or movement, and then we'll emulate that. So this week we did Aboriginal art, and it was really good fun. It was really good fun. It's such a fascinating area anyway, because it's there's so much about it, but it was really, it was quite a nice, easy, accessible activity to do as well. And that's what we aim for, something that's going to be enjoyable, not that people walk away from feeling like they failed because they're not the best artist in the room. That's not the point of it. The point is to do it and enjoy doing it, because it's meditative. It's really enjoyable just getting something down on paper or creating a craft. We might do a bit of needle felting. In fact, that's what we are doing this week. We're going to be doing wet felting, creating little pictures from wet felt. So it changes every week.
And I can see you obviously enjoy it as much as the people who come, because you just light up talking about it.
Yes, I love it. And I love seeing all my regulars, and we have a lot of fun.
So is that open to anyone?
It's open to anyone. It's a drop-in session. You don't have to book. Just come along. If you're able to make a donation towards a charity, that would be lovely, but it's not an expectation. And
do people take their art away with them?
Usually, yes, at the moment we're creating a little exhibition, mm-hmm. so we're going to hang on to it rather meanly for a few weeks and hang it in the gallery space that we have.
Which is in Newport, isn't it, on the the top corner?
On the High Street.
What used to be Monsoon.
It used to be Monsoon.
Long, long time ago, exactly. But it's actually such a lovely space and I love walking past that corner, seeing what's in the windows because it changes and it's always really beautiful.
Yes, yeah, well we're very lucky, we've got a full-time artist called Jo who is always creating new things for our window, sometimes using stuff that has been produced in schools, because we go into schools as well and do projects and in residential homes, but it's all forms of creative activity. It's not just art, you know, it's singing, it's movement and dance, poetry,
all the art forms which are, you know, so important for us to kind of, you know, use to reach into what's going on with us and helping. And I know we were talking earlier, you were saying, you know, people talk while they're doing that art. It's also a good counselling session for some, that you can offload, you know, some of the things that are maybe niggling you in life.
Exactly, we have some fabulous volunteers. A lot of our volunteers have lived experience of anxiety, so they're a great person to talk to, and we have different sessions throughout the week, offering different levels of support. We have something called peer support later in the week, where we'll have people who are trained in counselling and that sort of thing to support people who might need a little bit of extra help. We have another session called Helping Hands, which is designed to help people through the weekend. It's on a Friday, because the weekend, when you're on your own,
very difficult
and struggling, it can loom in front of you.
And I think it is a conversation that we all need to have, that, you know, we all acknowledge that our physical health is constantly ebb and flow, and one day you feel good, the next day maybe there's an ache or a pain. So is our mental health. We all have mental health all the time, and some days we feel good and some days we don't.
Yes.
And actually that is normal human nature.
Exactly.
And to stop feeling like, you know, talking about mental health is talking about something that should be hidden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a natural state of being. And whether you're up, down or in the middle, you know, but if you can tap into the creativity.
Yes, absolutely. And because we have the same members of staff every day of the week, we get to know the people, our participants. Yeah. So we can share stories. And if someone comes in every Monday and I can think there's something a bit off, they're not having a good day. And it doesn't mean that I will necessarily give them... I'm not a trained therapist or anything, but what I can do is just check in with them.
Yeah, just be there for them. And
and sometimes that's all somebody needs. And often people come because they want to almost get away from what's going on.
Yeah, a little bit of downtime.
So it's a little bit of an escapism thing as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Which
company
is where art should be for people, somewhere you can lose yourself and find out what you can achieve.
Yes, exactly.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I know there's lots more we're going to talk about, so I'm going to have you back in the future, because there's lots of things that I'm fascinated that you're doing. So thank you so much for talking to us here at Vectors Radio.
Not at all. Thanks, Nick.